is an interesting story. And so, today is the last day of our Prepare the Way Advent through Epiphany series, right? Today's Epiphany Sunday. Three Kings Day might also be called, or Little Christmas. I thought that was an interesting title, Little Christmas, which means it's time to take down the Christmas decorations. Today's the last day of the Christmas season, and we move from Christmas into the season of Epiphany. Except Iris tells me that if your family's from Puerto Rico, we at least have another week, yeah, another week of Christmas. Because 12 days isn't enough. And that's what I hear. King's Day is what? They celebrate King's Day next week?
Today.
Today, but then it's another week of party. Gotcha. And if you've ever been to Puerto Rico, if you've never been to Puerto Rico, we've been there over Christmas. Christmas is next level in Puerto Rico. I was not prepared for the level of celebration that people bring to Christmas in other countries. I experienced something similar when I was in Brazil, but it was not there. It was not at this level. This was 2 a.m, people are still driving around in pickup trucks with speakers piled 10 feet high, with amplifiers louder than you can imagine, blaring Christmas music and wishing everybody a Merry Christmas as loudly as possible as they drive through every town. And I'm not talking one vehicle. The Bible verse today could literally have said a caravan of pickup trucks rather than camels. And this will happen every hour till eventually, I guess, everybody just passes out. Because it's insane. Eventually, I just learned to ignore it. But I mean, after 2 days of it, it was like, oh my God, really? Christmas is not over, right? Until the pickup truck breaks down. But we celebrate and honor Epiphany as a church holiday because it represents the time when the manifestation of God, that is God made flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, became a person, right? And it's also when the understanding of that, the fact that the realization that God is now made flesh in Jesus Christ, that is the Epiphany, right? Because Epiphany is a season, but it's also that moment when you have the light bulb go off over your head. Right? That's an epiphany. One of my favorite scenes in any movie ever, and of course you know I'm a TV and movie guy, but there is a scene, if you ever saw the movie Hook with Robin Williams, and it was like a play on Peter Pan when he grows up. But there's a scene where Smee is talking to Captain Hook, and Hook is saying about how he's had an epiphany. And it always cracks me up because Smee's response is an epiphany what? Because he doesn't know what it is. I've had an idea, Smee, he says, right? And we celebrate Epiphany because it's the realization that the King has come, that the Messiah has arrived. The verse from Matthew today, we read about how the wise men arrived and said to Herod, so where's the King? Where's the real King? Now, I don't think, let's put it this way. Look at our political climate today, and I'm making no judgments or any statements here, but there have been plenty of people who, over the last 2 years, have been saying, where's our real president? Right? He is our real president. He was elected. Just saying. But this is the question, right? How does it undermine the authority of the person when they hear, where is the real king? Where is the one who was just born? We're showing up to worship because we saw the star. And that's why we're here. So that's the realization. That's why we celebrate Epiphany and King's Day. So last week, our word theme was search. And we talked about what it means to search for Christ in our everyday lives and what it means to inspire others to search for Christ in their lives. Not only that, but also how to deepen our relationship with God by searching for more ways to connect with him through his word, reading scripture, right? Fellowship, certainly prayer, and even worship, gathering here together as a faith family and worshiping God. This week, our scripture passages bring us a good follow-up word, find. I know when I'm searching for something, I love to find what I'm searching for. And I feel usually a little bit left out if I don't find what I'm looking for. You feel a little bit depressed, right? If you're searching for something for hours and you just can't find it, it's always the last place you look. See, because that's when you find it, right? I always hated that statement. Well, yeah.
The word you
left out. Yeah, right. Oh, man. But this is a good word for us this week, because finding, this finding that we're celebrating, that we're learning about this week, is caused by movement in searching for this new king that was born in Bethlehem. According to Isaiah's prophecy, and I always thought this passage from Isaiah was a unique link to the passage from Matthew that we talked about this morning, because in this passage, caravans of camels, the gifts that will be brought, frankincense, myrrh, gold, and how Isaiah refers to the Messiah. This is the nations shall come to your light and kings to the brightness. Kings, the three wise men were wise rulers. They were also kings, right? To the brightness of your dawn. They were drawn to a star, right? The text makes reference to young camels of Midian. And Sheba will come with gold and frankincense to proclaim the praise of the Lord. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, we get the visit of the three kings is about not rendering praise to a land, because this is the division that we see in the Bible. When we move from the Old Testament to the New Testament, so much of the word is about, in the Old Testament, is about the kingdom of Israel. Israel, 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 the land of Israel. And then we get to the New Testament, and it's not about the land anymore. It's about the people. And it's about, specifically, more about the hearts of the people. And even more so, this passage today is about the search for this newborn king. So in these passages, we get this invitation to give honor and glory and praise to God, who has acted in favor of the covenant people, right? God has made that covenant with the people of Israel. He's going to give them the Messiah. And so this is where we're at. And he's come through the Messiah. And so in the gospel, the wise men from the east, they've had this brief encounter with King Herod. And we know that Herod had this ulterior motive, right? He was saying, well, the real king, huh? I'll show him for being the real king. Hey, when you guys find out where he's at, just come back and let me know so that I can go worship him too, right? And we know what Herod's methods, we know what Herod's methods of worship would have been. He'd have shown up with an army and would have killed him. Now, the interesting thing is that they had their epiphany in a couple of ways as they were searching for Christ and as they find him. We see that. They realize that the king's been born. So step one in the epiphany process. Step two in the epiphany process is that they also realize that they can't go back to Herod, because God reveals to them prophetically what's going to happen if they do. And not only do they not go back to Herod, but an interesting word in that last piece of verse 12. And they went home by another road. They said, you know what? Let's just detour right around Jerusalem on the way back. We're not going to let Herod know that we're heading back, because if he sees us going back, what's going to happen, right? He's going to know that we found him. So we're going to go back by another road, right? And so we celebrate this time of year, this epiphany, because it offers this kind of myriad of faith possibilities. We have this wide gamut of possibilities here, a spiritual journey that leads us to Jesus. We see divine signs. We've got this star in our path to point us to where God wants us to go. And the importance of stewardship in our lives. And this is an interesting take on this, but the fact that they were bringing gifts to honor the gift of the Messiah. Kingly gifts, right? And I'm going to get into that in a minute. But the text from Matthew says, and they set out, and there ahead of them went the star. So the star was doing what? Moving. The star was moving. It led them to Jerusalem, but then it continued to lead them. Because here's the thing, if they were coming from the east, which the Bible tells us they were, Bethlehem is not due west of Jerusalem. It's not. You look at a map, it's kind of back in the other direction a little bit, right? It's off, not to the west of Jerusalem. They couldn't continue to follow the star. The star went ahead of them. It moved and they followed it. All right, so I need to be clear about that. Where are those places for us today that we need to find, that we need to go to? Right? Is it in our communities where we see suffering from various forms of poverty? I love when I hear reports like this morning. What was the word, Ross, that they gave us? That they're surprised by a church of our size providing all of that stuff? I'm not. Because we're a community of faith inspired by the greatest gift giver of all time. Any church should be able to overwhelm someone with gifts. Just saying. And especially when it's gifts that meet needs, specific needs. And it's what we do. It's what we do. And the wise men set that up for us in this passage. We'll talk about that more in a second. But not only that, let's think about those communities. So we got the communities that are dealing with poverty, but what about the other communities that we can work in? The communities that we support through missions like UMCOR and GAIN. What about those communities? How have we impacted them? What are we bringing to them? What are they going to find as a result of what we do? Now, personally, I think we find those places at every opportunity where people are longing for the light of Christ. And that's something that we hear. It brings us back to that passage from Isaiah today. Open your eyes, Israel, because day is dawning, is what the prophet Isaiah is saying. The light of the Lord has come. Right? When we go to these places, when we do these things, when we talk to people about the hope and the reason that we do what we do, what are we doing? What gift are we giving them? We're bringing the light of the Lord into their life. It's exposing. And a lot of people get uncomfortable that aren't Christians. They get uncomfortable when they hear this message. Why? Well, how did you feel the first time maybe you experienced the Holy Spirit or you got into a section of the Bible that you kind of wandered into maybe by accident and you see something in there that makes you go, ooh, I didn't know that was wrong. Right? Oh, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that. You kind of stumble into one of those passages that's got like, you know, a whole bunch of laws in it, and you're like, really? I didn't know I wasn't supposed to do that, or I was supposed to do it this way. Or, you know, we get into the Bible and the Holy Spirit starts talking to us and working on us, and he gets in there and that light gets shined into those dark places. And it makes us what? Just a little bit uncomfortable sometimes. And I love to say this, but us being uncomfortable is the fastest way for us to grow in faith. When we're made to be uncomfortable in what we believe or what we understand or what we think is right or wrong, when God's truth hits us, that light from God, that truth, when that hits those dark places where we're kind of hanging on to some of those things, well, it makes us a little bit uncomfortable. But here's the thing. When we go, man, I gotta get that. I get into it, it just starts sliding in front. But here's the thing. When we look for these opportunities, when we look for these places to carry the word of Christ, what we find is that the Christ of the Epiphany is actually already there. He's already behind the scenes working. This is what we talk about in the Methodist Church's prevenient grace. God is already ahead of us working. He was already working on us before we were even aware of him to bring us home. This is what Wesley talks about with prevenient grace. It's grace that works on us before we're ready to receive God. And what we find out is that Christ of the Epiphany is already in those places, already working on those people. But our witness, our ministry, the gifts that we bring, the message that we share, may be the one thing that they need for them to ask, what do I have to do to receive that gift? Now, we can also learn something by allowing the passages to take us in the direction of following the star in terms of prevenient grace, right? We want to follow that star. We want to know that God is out there working ahead of us, and before we even realize it. Or maybe even following that star in a direction that we weren't planning on going. Right? How about in terms of discernment, understanding what God is doing? What decision, what new project, what new relationship, what adjustment do we need to make in our lives that ultimately will bring honor to the name of Jesus Christ? What new way will we find Jesus Christ? Or even better, help another person find Christ at the end of that part of our journey? Maybe a better question. Since it is Epiphany, Three Kings Day, right? Is what we are bringing with us for what we find at the end of the journey? Are we bringing what we need to have at the end? Right? So this is where I'm getting to with the gifts. What we have with us is what we need for the end of the journey. God has gifted each of us uniquely. We all have been given gifts that we bring. Designing us as a masterpiece. God's word teaches us that we've all been designed as a masterpiece, that we've been created for a unique and special purpose, each and every one of us. We're not just numbers to God. Scripture teaches us how important we are, so much so that God's word teaches us that He knew us before we were even knit together in our mother's womb. He knew us because His knowledge, His understanding surpasses all of time. See, we think of time as point A to point B, but to God, time is not relevant. He exists outside of time. He knows us here, even though we didn't start until here, but He knows us all the way over here, right? So I want you to, it kind of messes with your brain a little bit to understand how God knows you in advance. But He knows you before you were even born, or before you even thought of. God knew you and crafted you uniquely and gifted you uniquely to a special purpose. Now, we can use those gifts for those that we find. Right? We can use those gifts that we've been given, for those that we find who need to find Christ for themselves. That's how the gifts work. Let me say that again. We use our spiritual gifts, our physical gifts, our finances, our means, our natural talents, our intellect, to help other people find their way to Christ. That is what we do. That's discipleship. God helps us find those that we can help and minister to. So what's important about what we bring? Well, everything. For lack of a better answer, everything is important about what we bring. Because we bring everything. We're supposed to bring everything to God, right? So the three wise men, though, brought three very specific gifts and that were also very prophetic. And I don't know if the wise men were divinely inspired to bring the certain gifts that they brought, but they certainly brought things that were important to the life of Christ during His time on earth. The three gifts had a spiritual meaning. Gold, as a symbol of kingship on earth. Frankincense, a symbol of deity. It was used in worship. And myrrh is an embalming oil. Now, I don't know about you, but I think it would be a little weird if somebody showed up at an infant's birth with embalming oil. Right? I'd be a little concerned about that if I was, say, mom or dad. You're like, really? That's a great gift. Thank you very much, right? And we put that one over on the other pile, right? Like, man, that was a joke. It's okay to laugh. But here's the thing. So we have this notion of these gifts having I want you to understand that this idea that the gifts had a significant spiritual purpose is not a new one. A lot of people I saw as I was researching this were saying, oh, this is this new concept that these gifts had like a meaning assigned to them, that this was something that was done kind of like, we call it, can't remember the term. Anyway, fitting it in at the end to make the story have more value or have a value that we want to give it. Here's the thing. As early as 200 AD, there were already people writing about the significance of these gifts. So it wasn't like it happened 1,000 years after Christ or, you know, 1,500 years after Christ. Just a few years after Jesus, people are already writing about the significance of this value. And the author who wrote this, Origen, this Contra Celsum, this was 240 AD that this book was written. He was already referring to earlier sources about why these gifts were important. And in fact, we see the importance of those gifts in the Old Testament. Isaiah specifically mentions frankincense and myrrh and gold in that passage from Isaiah 60. The gifts that they bring are mentioned in a prophecy that took place hundreds of years before Jesus was born. These wise men could not possibly have known to bring that. Hello. Unless God was already working ahead. Prevenient grace. We're back to that. God works ahead to give us the gifts that we need to bring. Right? Now, as far as that kind of fitting things in later aspect, people talk about how the myrrh was used actually when Christ was buried and that they hung on to it for what. And I'm like, all right, now, we don't know that. That's taking it and stretching it a million miles. But here's the thing. There's some other symbolism here. That is gold. Of course, sometimes this is described more generally as gold symbolizing virtue, frankincense symbolizing prayer, and myrrh symbolizing suffering. Either way, we get that same notion of some of the life events that take place while Christ is here on earth. And the gifts that we find in ourselves from the Holy Spirit are also set apart for a special purpose. And those gifts are, we find them in Scripture in a couple of different passages. Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4. And then there's also another passage, I believe, in Galatians. And especially if we're talking Galatians more, we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit. Right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Can you help me out here, buddy?
You're a pastor.
Oh! This guy's good. He got me. But anyway, we jump back to this. I want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for a second. Because these are the gifts that we're given, that we're uniquely gifted, that we're given so that we can do the ministry of God in this world. Here's a list, right? And this is just a kind of a cluster of the gifts that I've taken out of all those different passages. Word of wisdom. I'm going to give a brief definition with these. So like what happened earlier when I was praying, and I felt like God was telling me to pray specifically for something. Right? Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, we share with one another, and they are a gift of the Holy Spirit that gives us the ability to find specific things. We can help people specifically because God gives us knowledge that we wouldn't otherwise have, or wisdom that we wouldn't otherwise have through the gift of the Holy Spirit. Faith. Some people are uniquely gifted to believe in the toughest situations. All right? And you can have a mix of any or all of these, definitely some extremely strongly compared to others, right? Like me, tongues, not so much, right? But, you know, hospitality. I was a big zero on hospitality. Actually, I was more like a one. I was never, you never get a zero in spiritual gifts. But I don't feel particularly gifted at making people feel welcome or comfortable, right? And you might sit there and say, oh, come on, Pastor. No, you make us feel, I don't feel gifted that way, all right? Like, let's put it that way. Anyway, gifts of healing, kinds of healings. There are people who have a spiritual gift that everybody prays for this one, I swear, to be able to just walk around and heal people. I have seen people who are uniquely spiritually gifted that can just lay hands on someone and that person is healed. I would love to find them and keep them on payroll. Amen? But that is one of those most rare spiritual gifts, but when it is there, you can feel God's presence. It is amazing. And not only that, sometimes that spiritual gift comes in waves. There was one time I was in at Iris's parents' church, and I remember her dad was having a significant amount of back pain. And you could just feel the Holy Spirit moving around in the place. And at one point, he's preaching, and he's leaning over like this because his back hurts. And somebody, you could just sense how the Holy Spirit was moving around the room. And all of a sudden, I felt like one person get like just touched, right? And she walks up behind him and she's praying. And as she's praying, she's just touching his back one by one, reaching, just touching his vertebrae. And I don't know that he noticed, but he's leaning on this crutch. And he's standing there preaching, leaning on this crutch. And as she's doing this, in the course of a couple of minutes, he's slowly standing up while she's praying for his back and just touching one vertebrae at a time. And to the point where he's finally back, and this is a guy who rivals me in height. Very intimidating, just saying. I know he'd like hearing that. But he's standing there to the point where he's holding the microphone and he's holding the crutch. And for a couple of minutes, he's preaching, microphone in one hand, crutch in the other. And then realizes that he's just standing there holding this thing and is just like, here, and hands it to somebody. Because at this point, God has already done the miracle. God has healed him of the back pain. You asked me the other week, was I experiencing any back pain when I was preaching? No. The Holy Spirit is so wonderful that he can just take pain. And granted, after I was done preaching, oh yeah, I came back. But in that moment, when the Holy Spirit was resting on me while I was preaching, I was not feeling pain. These are the gifts that we can receive from the Holy Spirit. Miracles. Now, Christ did some pretty amazing things. We don't often see people do some of that kind of stuff, but I've seen amazing things in my life. She's seen some crazy stuff at her parents' church. Miracles happen. Not a thing for this moment, but I want you to understand some of the gifts that we can receive. Prophecy. When we are given a word of some future expectation, expectation of future good, some hope to give somebody, it comes as a prophetic word. We prophesy over someone when the Holy Spirit puts that on us. Distinguishing between the spirits, that is discernment, knowing whether or not something is of God. This is one area that I have received as a spiritual gift, and I love this one, because if somebody's talking to me about something and they're saying, like, oh, God did this, God did that, and the Holy Spirit will just be like, or yep, no, that was awesome. Like, I'll get yes or no answers real quick from God on whether or not. That's what discernment is and how it kind of works. Right? Tongues and the interpretations of tongues. If you've never seen people speak in tongues, it can be interesting the first time you experience that. But what Scripture teaches is that there's always an interpretation when it's done publicly. So if God's going to speak through someone in tongues, there's going to be somebody there that's going to be able to interpret it. And I've seen that happen. I've also seen some more earthly speaking in tongues where, I'll never forget, we got back from this mission trip to Brazil, and we were at a worship service at a big church over on 23. Not going to name it. But we're getting ready to go into the worship service, and they pull us all into this back room, and they're like, all right, we're going to pray. And they said, let's pray in the Spirit. 20 people in the room, Iris and I are in there. And they said, let's pray in the Spirit. And just like that, 20 people in the room break out into praying in tongues. And I'm like, that's not how this works. That is not how the gift of tongues works. And in that moment, without talking to one another, she and I prayed basically the same thing. I said, God, if this is not of you, I don't even want to hear it. Because if it's not of you, it is not something that is holy. I do not want it. And it was like this muted buzzing took my ears. And I could hear one person actually praying in tongues at that point. But the rest of it was just filtered out. So when I say God can do some miraculous things, I am not joking. God can do whatever he wants. Reality is completely moldable to that, to him. Like, it just, and in that moment, only one person out of like this group of 20 was actually praying in tongues. I know I'm running long today, but I feel like you need to understand some of the gifts that you have been given through Jesus Christ. Tongues is used to bless people or bless the Lord. When it's done with interpretation, it's done in such a way that people are receiving a special message that they know is from God. When it's done privately, it's done to bless the Lord, and it's because we may not have the words that we need to pray to get through a certain situation. So that's tongues. We can talk about these offline if you want, after the service. Being an apostle, that is, being a servant, being someone who is out there leading, a leader in the church, somebody who is gifted with it. Usually a person who has the gift of apostleship also has the gift of administration, which is another one. There are people who are uniquely gifted to administer a church in the body of Christ. And I don't mean just like a United Methodist Church. Like, they are uniquely gifted to organize believers to do amazing things as a church. And then finally, teaching. Teaching is a spiritual gift. And I'm looking at you, Ross. Teaching is a spiritual gift. And you, Audrey. If you have been given the gift of teaching, you are a blessing, because we edify one another. We build one another up. We grow as a church because of people who are willing to use the gift of teaching. Now, I'd like to invite everyone to find out just one new way. Just one. It's a challenge. The 2019 challenge here at the church. Just one new way to honor the gift of Jesus Christ by extending yourself in ministry. Just in one way. Discipleship just a little bit more, maybe. You know? Reading. And I'm not talking about a huge commitment. Start small. Right? The people that will tell you how to like achieve things throughout your day, they tell you to start with one small thing in the beginning of the day. Make your bed. It organizes things. It gives you a sense of accomplishment when you first start your day. Make your bed when you get up, right? I don't. She often does. But I'm terrible about that. But the thing is that I'm not talking about a huge commitment. What I'm talking about is things like visitations, speaking to other people, teaching a class, attending, not even leading, attending a Bible study, attending a prayer group, not necessarily leading a prayer group, reading scripture more often, praying more often. What you will find is that Jesus starts to change you more. This is what you will find. I say it again, we're back to our key word of the day. What you will find is that Jesus is going to start changing you more. But not just you. He's going to start changing the lives of others around you because of that commitment to ministry. And all to the glory of God and His kingdom through Jesus Christ. Others can find what we have found because we're willing to share. Let's all find Christ again this year. Amen?
Amen.
Sorry, Ross, I went way over. I know you wanted a short message. Because we still have to do communion.